Hello, I'm Aaron Lohr, and this is the Endocrine News Podcast. It wasn't that long ago that artificial intelligence was a concept reserved for science fiction. That's certainly no longer the case. In the last 5 years, the field of AI and robotics has taken off and has become a part of our everyday life, and it continues to grow and evolve. How are AI and robotics shaping the field of medicine? How is it improving the lives of doctors and patients? We used to ask, what is the role of AI in medicine? Are we getting closer to a time where we'll be asking, what is the role of humans? To help us answer these questions, my guest today is Dr. Hassan Hashmati. Dr. Hashmati has been a physician for 49 years and an endocrinologist for 45 years with experience in clinical research and academia and in the pharmaceutical biotech industry. He founded Endocrinology Metabolism Consulting and recently presented an abstract at Endo 2025 entitled Update on the Use of Robotic Surgery and AI for Adrenal Tumors. Thank you for being here today, Dr. Hashmati.
Thank you very much for your kind invitation. The work that I presented was made in collaboration with my colleague, Dr. Nadia Zamani, who is currently in Tehran, Iran.
Now, everyone is talking about AI and robotics and how these advancements will impact the medical field. But of course, the reality is they already are. What do we know about how much robotic surgery is now being done compared to traditional surgery performed by humans?
Robotic surgery has been around for almost 40 years. The first robotic surgery was performed in 1985. And you have an increase in the number of these procedures over the last 15 years, an exponential increase. The leading countries performing robotic surgery are USA, Germany, and South Korea. In US, approximately 2,000 hospitals are performing robotic surgery. And this represents approximately 15% of all surgical procedures. In 2020, in US, 876,000 procedures were performed using robotic surgery. Most of them were for prostate. The market size of robotic surgery in 2024 in US was around $7 billion. And this number is expected to reach $16 billion in 2032. And most of these procedures are performed for general surgery.
So clearly, robotic surgery is escalating in popularity. So what are the advantages to robotic surgery? Why do you think it's progressing so quickly and how much it's being used?
So there are several advantages with minor differences between the type of surgery. You have smaller incisions, which means at the end, smaller scars for the patient. It's less invasive. You have a better approach to the surgical site with a better visibility. You have more flexibility with enhanced range of motion. There is no hand tremor. This is a human factor, very important, especially if the duration of the surgery is long. You have, in most cases, lower complications, such as blood loss. You have shorter hospital stay. You can save several days of hospitalization. And you can have access to a top surgeon remotely. The surgeon can be in Australia. The patient can be in Spain, for example. These are the main advantages.
And your study was looking specifically at robotic surgery regarding adrenal tumors. Why did you want to focus there?
As you know, when you submit an abstract, you have space limitations, so we couldn't present all endocrine glands, but you can have robotic surgery for the pituitary gland, for thyroid, for parathyroid, for the adrenals, for the pancreas, etc. At the endocrine meeting in Europe, we presented robotic surgery for pituitary tumors, and we presented robotic surgery for thyroid disorders at the American Thyroid Association.
Your study mentioned that surgical robots could be categorized into three types depending on how autonomous they are. Can you walk us through those three types?
The first type is supervised autonomy or master-slave system. There is no pre-programming, and the whole system depends on the surgeon activity. The second type is collaborative autonomy, semi-active, and the surgeon is complementing the robot that is pre-programmed. The third type is full autonomy, is an active system that works autonomously, but under the supervision of the surgeon, and the surgeon can intervene as needed.
In your review, you were looking at robotic surgery and safety, outcomes, and cost. Can you walk us through what you found in each of those?
In all the studies, the safety of robotic surgery is as good, if not better, than the traditional surgery. Regarding the outcome, an important advantage is a shorter hospital stay, which can save some money for everybody. Regarding the cost, the robotic surgery currently is more expensive than the traditional surgery. For example, for the adrenal tumors, the difference of cost between robotic surgery and traditional surgery is around $2,000. Why there is a difference in cost? Because if you want to perform robotic surgery, you need to have an initial investment for all the materials you need and train your personnel. The cost of materials is between $1 and $2 million. And then you have to maintain the whole system annually, and the cost is between $100,000 and $150,000 per year. However, this cost can decrease if the number of procedures with robotic surgery is increased in one center.
Clearly, the field of robotic surgery, as we mentioned, is rapidly advancing and will continue to advance, I imagine. How do you think this field will grow in the next 5 years?
So there are many factors that can influence the growth of robotic surgery. One is the availability of the budget in order to have the initial investment and perform the training. The other factor is the evolution of technology and the development of new systems for robotic surgery. Currently, the main system is Da Vinci system, but there are many more that are acting or in development. Also, the availability of new data, because the importance of having a combination of AI and robotic surgery is to use the experience based on data. Another factor which is important is the expansion of the population in a country, in a city, in a community. And lastly, the political situation. We don't know who will be the next Secretary of Health, what type of idea the person will have, and how it can impact this procedure.
Indeed. I may have been saving my hardest question for last, so let me ask it now. As robotic surgery advances, what do you see as the role of the human?
So as you know, artificial intelligence is using the available experience and data. It cannot generate ideas from scratch. So there is always a need for humans to incorporate the data, to support the system, and to maintain the system. However, there will be a reduction of active personnel in the operating room.
Well, I think that's about all the time we have for today. I want to thank my guest, Dr. Heshmati. Thank you so much for being on the podcast today and walking us through your research and what you've been discovering about robotics and AI have been advancing healthcare. I really appreciate you taking the time today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
That's all for this episode. As always, thank you for listening to the Endocrine News Podcast. If you'd like to hear more of these, check us out on endocrine.org/podcast or Apple, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're enjoying these, please let us know by leaving a review on Apple. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@endocrine.org. Thanks again.
Endocrine News Podcasts are a free service of the Endocrine Society. To learn more or to become a member, visit the Society's website at www.endocrine.org.